All right, so we're on Mark chapter 14 today. Mark chapter 14 starts with just a couple of depressing verses here. I want to get these in here. This is the chief priests and the elders and how they're plotting to kill Jesus. It says, now the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread were only 2 days away, and the chief priests and the teachers of the law were looking for some sly way to arrest Jesus and kill him. But not during the feast, they said, because people might riot. We don't want to do it now. We don't want to do it during Passover. That's what they're saying. But their intentions are to arrest Jesus and kill him. They're looking for some sly way. That's what it says. They're looking for some sly way to arrest him and kill him. That's how Mark 14 begins. And I also want to skip down to verses 10 and 11 and just show you a couple verses right there. It talks about Judas. Then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the chief priest to betray Jesus to them. How convenient is that? They're looking for some sly way to arrest and kill Jesus, and here comes Judas. And Judas goes to them and betrays Jesus to them. Verse 11 says, and they were delighted to hear this and promised to give him money. So he watched for an opportunity to hand him over to them. So we begin Mark 14 with the Pharisees looking for how to kill Jesus and Judas more than willing to help out. And between these two texts, Mark interjects something beautiful. This is what it says in Mark 14, verse 3. While he was in Bethany, reclining at the table in the home of a man known as Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume, made of pure nard, and she broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. Mentioned this just a couple weeks ago when we were talking about the widow's mite. I just made a comparison between the widow's mite and this woman right here. And today we're going to dive into this story. I read about a man who was shopping for Christmas, and he got this idea to buy his wife some perfume. So he goes to the counter and asks a lady to show him some perfume. And the first bottle she brings out, $150. And he said, well, that's a bit pricey. You got anything a little less expensive? So she finds another bottle, and she brings it out. And this one's $130. It's still a little much here. Got anything a little cheaper than that? So she comes back with an armful of all these different perfumes for him to try and to figure out. They're ranging from $80 to $18. And he's looking at all of them. He looks at the $18 one. He says, I don't know. I'm looking for something really cheap. So she grabs a mirror and she holds it up to him. So that's all right, so we're talking about this. What does it say here? This woman came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume, and so here's a woman with no name, and I also would make note, this is totally against protocol. She has no business here where all these guys are sitting and eating and reclining and talking, and she walks in. She's not supposed to be there, but she's not named. Mark doesn't focus on who she is, but his focus is what she did. It's in the Gospel of John. This story is recorded in all four Gospels, and John gives us some more details. John tells us that this is Mary. And if you know anything about Mary, the sister of Martha, Mary is always at the feet of Jesus. And once again, this is where she's at. She pours all the perfume all over Jesus. And we also get from this story, it's very, very expensive perfume. And when you read that, you're thinking, oh, that's nice, because she's honoring Jesus. But then in verse 5, it tells us how expensive this perfume is. It's worth a year's wage. Now, you do the math on that. I don't know how much you make in a year, but that's how much this perfume is worth. Go figure. I mean, this is like, and I read in America Today that the average income is like $60,000 a year. Perfume worth $60,000, and she just pours it all over Jesus. That is scandalous. It caused everyone in the room to go crazy. The disciples were horrified by this, and Jesus loved every minute of it. My question to you, what is this all about? What is it all about? And the focus is really on worship. It's all about worship. It's all about expressing our love for the Lord and all that he's done for us. Mary didn't care about the cost. Mary didn't care about what people thought. She just knew that Jesus was worthy. And she couldn't help herself. And as a result, the whole house was filled with beautiful fragrance of her worship. Now, two things that really stand out to me that I want us to see today about Mary and her love for Jesus, Mary and her worship for Jesus, and I'm hoping this inspires us in our worship for Jesus. And the first thing I want you to see is how her worship is so extravagant. Mary's act of worship cost her a whole lot of money, but she willingly and gladly gave it away because she loved Jesus so much. Now, I read from Chuck Swindoll. Chuck Swindoll, he's one of my favorites. He says, I believe this event has been preserved to teach one major message. There are certain times when extravagance is appropriate. And he goes on, he says, in our day of emphasis on high-tech calculations and finely tuned budgets and with persistent reminders of cost and restraint and propriety, that is never being guilty of doing anything outside the bounds of ordinary, anything beyond the basics can be misconstrued as excessive. If you buy into that ever-present Spartan philosophy, then everything you build will be functional, ordinary, and basic. Everything you purchase will be at the lowest cost. Everything you do will be average. He goes on, he says, on the basis of this magnificent story, I feel there are times when extravagant gifts are not only appropriate, but they're occasionally essential. And so I got a question for you. And we could probably easily divide the room in two groups right here. What is the right mindset? To be fiscally responsible or to worship with extravagance? There's always the numbers keepers, you know, and there's always the people who don't care about numbers at all. Maybe there should be a good balance between the two. I don't know. You know, some people are good stewards, and some people are good worshipers. Maybe we can do both. But here's a case of just of giving the Lord your all. Now, I've got a scripture. I hope I have it up here. Psalm 96, verse 4. Do I have that? Psalm 96, verse 4 says, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Okay, great is the Lord. Stop right there. Great is the Lord. Yeah, we all agree with it. Yes, he is great. And greatly to be praised. Not responsibly, but greatly. I just want to emphasize that word. Are you worshiping God greatly? Are you just worshiping God? Are you worshiping him a little bit? Or are you worshiping him with all, with your all? Another thing, Chuck Swindoll, he talks about Apollo 13. He says, in one of the early Apollo projects, someone stuck his head inside the capsule and said to the team of astronauts getting ready to take off, well, how does it feel? And with a grin, one of the astronauts replied, it really makes you think twice in here when you realize everything in this whole project was constructed according to the lowest bid. And that's the way a lot of people live their life, according to the lowest bid. Unfortunately, that's the way a lot of people worship the Lord, according to the lowest bid. You know, what doesn't cost you that much? You want to be responsible, you know. When it comes to worship, don't go for the lowest bid. When it comes to communicating your love for Jesus Christ, don't do that. He is greatly to be praised. I was mindful in Matthew 13, talks about the hidden treasure and the great pearl. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy, he went and sold all he had and he bought that field. Jesus being the treasure. Then you got to recognize what a treasure this is, how valuable Jesus Christ is. Worship is about recognizing the value of something. And my question is, what is Jesus worth to you? What is he worth to you? Mary worshiped extravagantly. Another thing I want to point out about her worship is how open she was about her worship. She worshiped openly, without shame, in front of everybody else. That's how Mary loved Jesus. As a result of her, she opened herself up to public ridicule and criticism, and they gave it to her. In verse 5, it says they rebuked her harshly for what she did. But that didn't matter to her. She was willing to risk public ridicule and shame because she loved Jesus that much. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Psalm 37, verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. She's a poster child of delighting herself in the Lord. 1 Peter 2, verse 9, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. Why? So that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. We exist to declare his praises. Extravagantly and openly, we tell the world what Jesus is worth to us, how valuable Jesus is to us because of all Jesus has done for us. So my question is, where are the Marys? Are you a Mary? What is Jesus worth to you? What are you willing to do to declare the praises of him who called you out of the darkness? So this is Mary, but her act of worship wasn't appreciated by everybody in the room that day. There were some people in that room that saw that what she did, and they thought it was impractical. And you look at the next verse, verse 4, some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, why this waste of perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wage, and that money given to the poor, and they rebuked her harshly. Now we're told, you know, in Matthew, this is the disciples. It says here in Mark, some who were present. In Matthew, it says it was disciples that were doing this. And John specifically says it was Judas, which is interesting. Mary comes in and makes this whole place smell wonderful with her worship. And Judas comes in and stinks the whole place up. And they were indignant, which is more than miffed. I mean, visibly angered. They said, what a waste. In verse 5, it could have been sold for more than a year's wages. So they got their calculators out. They're doing an assessment here of the waste that's going on here. And what are you thinking, woman? $60,000 right here, just wasted, just blown. Have you not heard anything Jesus said about taking care of the poor, feeding the poor? Have you not been to the Pool of Siloam? Have you not seen all the people who are suffering in this world? And this is what you do. Now imagine with me. That somebody comes to our church and they're just so in love with Jesus and they just, you know, got a great inheritance or won the lottery or something, and they want to express their love for Jesus and they're telling you about this, and you might be thinking, oh, I've got some ideas here. We could add on, we could expand the parking lot, we could do this, the benevolence fund. I'm thinking about all the people we could help. And then as you're thinking, she takes all her inheritance and she throws it in the bonfire. Because that's just how she wants to tell Jesus she loved him. And you're thinking, you idiot. That's what I would do. So, I mean, I wouldn't say it out loud. All right. I'd be thinking some things, though. So I'm looking at these disciples, and I'm like, I think I can relate that that they just see all the waste. The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. And apparently, to a lot of people, the main thing is good stewardship, that we should not be wasteful. Apparently, they did not see the need for spending this kind of money on Jesus, because that's just stupid. That would be wasteful. That's what they were thinking. And get this, verse 5, this perfume could have been sold for a year's wages, and the money could have been given to the poor. All of a sudden, they're concerned about the poor. I mean, were they concerned about the poor before this happened? But right now, they're so concerned about the poor that you want they want this woman's money. They could have gone to the poor. What about their money? They could have used their money to help the poor if they cared about the poor so much. Beware of people who are generous with other people's money. The disciples were the original social justice warriors. They want to redistribute Mary's wealth to the poor. They want to take her wealth, and they want to give her wealth to the poor. Generosity with other people's money is not generosity. That's socialism, and that's not good. That's a whole other sermon, though. And notice, when you're concerned about the theoretically, the poor, the people out there, people are suffering, people are hurting, so you're concerned about them, but the person right in front of you, you're rebuking harshly, you're being mean to the person right in front of you. That's just hypocrisy. Being concerned about the people who are hurting out there in the world, but not concerned about the person right in front of you, and you're hurting them. Jesus asks, why are you attacking this woman? And he doesn't wait for an answer, but what if he did? What would they say? Because we care about the poor. That's why we're attacking her. We just want more kindness in the world. And she's not being very kind. That's why we're attacking her. We love humanity so much. That's why what she's doing, that's why we call it stupid and wasteful. She's a wasteful idiot because we care. That's what's my question. Are we anything like the disciples? You look at the disciples, how critical they are of Mary. Are we critical of other people, especially when they're expressing their worship of Jesus? Calling someone an extremist is the natural response of the flesh whenever you see someone who frankly loves Jesus more than you do. Well, they're an extremist. So we look at Jesus here, and what did Jesus say? Jesus said, leave her alone. Why are you bothering her? Basically, he says, knock it off. Why are you bothering her? So he's asking a question here. They ask the question, why this waste? And Jesus responds with his question, why are you bothering her? They ask Mary why she's misusing the money. And Jesus asks them, why are you mistreating Mary? And why were they mistreating Mary? They were mistreating her because her worship was too much for them. It was too much. It was convicting them. It's something they wouldn't do. They wouldn't worship Jesus like that. Jesus says what she has done is a beautiful thing. See that in verse 6. She has done a beautiful thing to me. What the disciples called a waste, Jesus called beautiful. And here's a question that I want you to ponder, maybe not just right now, but throughout the week. Why was this so beautiful? From Jesus' perspective, why was that considered beautiful? And I think if you think about that throughout the week, it might challenge us to maybe step up our game a little bit in thinking about all that Jesus has done for us. I'd love to think that our worship here is beautiful to Jesus. Is it? Are we giving him our all, or are we just giving him the bare minimum? So why was her act of worship so beautiful? First of all, it was because it was for Jesus. She made the conscious decision when she left home to bring this bottle of perfume with her. So this is premeditated worship right here. That's what this is. And she meant to do this to honor Jesus and to honor him alone. She didn't bring it for Simon. She didn't bring it for Lazarus. She didn't bring it for the disciples. She did it for Jesus. That reverence and devotion to Jesus for who he is and for all that he had done for her. And it's true that the other people in the room would be blessed by this fragrance, by this perfume, but it wasn't for them. It was for Jesus and Jesus alone. And another thing, so it was for Jesus, and secondly, to recognize it was from the heart. And Jesus knew her heart. And the difference between Cain and Abel was because Abel gave his best. And when David was dancing before the Lord, that was considered a beautiful thing to God. Why? Because of David's heart. Abel had the right heart. David had the right heart. Mary has the right heart. Mary gave Jesus her heart. Another thing I want you to see here was beautiful because it was an act of love. What she did out of her overwhelming love for Jesus. And I think about that, and it makes me feel guilty about my worship. Do I love Jesus like she loves Jesus? Just like Mary, I've experienced the blessings of God in incredible ways. Just like Mary, I've experienced the Lord's forgiveness, which I did not deserve. Just like Mary, I've experienced his grace, his love, his goodness, his presence. I've experienced all that. Have I given the Lord my all? Have I ever loved him anything like Mary loved Jesus? How have I expressed my love for Jesus? How have you expressed your love for Jesus? For all that he's done for you, take inventory. Take inventory of the ways you have been blessed. The fact that you've been forgiven, the grace that you've experienced. Take inventory of all that he's done for you. How have you expressed your love for him? Have you ever felt compelled to express your love in some extravagant way? You know, why was it beautiful? It was beautiful because it was extravagant. When you're motivated by love, you don't stop and do a cost-benefit analysis first. Love's not always practical. Sometimes love should be wildly extravagant. Mary, no doubt in my mind, she knew the value of what she had in her hands in that alabaster jar. She knew how much it cost. I read that this perfume it was made from the finest ingredients gathered, some say at the very foot of the Himalayas, brought all the way from India. It was imported. She knew the value of what she had in her hands, but Mary also understood the value of Jesus, her Savior, the one who gave her abundant life, eternal life. She could have easily brought a cheaper bottle of perfume, you know, stopped at Walmart on the way, got that $18 bottle, you know, but she chose to give Jesus her very best because he deserves it. It shows you the heart of Mary. She gave her all. Mary did not spare anything when she poured forth the perfume. Mary held nothing back, none for herself, none for anyone else, all for Jesus. And she anointed him, and the fragrance filled the entire room. There was no part of the house untouched by her actions. This was not a deed done in private. It was a public testimony to her love and her commitment to this man. And what did Jesus say about this? Jesus tells us in verse 9, I tell you the truth, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. Another thing Jesus says, verse 8, Jesus says, she poured the perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial. And that's a whole other thing right there. All this, it had a purpose to it. And I don't know that Mary understood the purpose. Was Mary listening all the times when Jesus said, you know, I'm going to go, they're going to arrest me, they're going to kill me 3 days later, I'll rise from the dead. The disciples never heard that. Maybe Mary was paying more attention than what the disciples were paying. Or maybe Mary just didn't understand at all, that she was just inspired by love to do what she did, but Jesus says what she did had purpose. Whether or not she understood that or not, Jesus acknowledged it had purpose. Our worship, our heartfelt, authentic, extravagant, fully surrendered worship has purpose. You might not understand the purpose behind it, but God knows the purpose behind it. Maybe it's just a way to communicate how you feel. Maybe it's to show the world how valuable Jesus is to you. Maybe you'll never know why, but God knows why. Your worship has purpose. All right, I want to try to wrap things up here, but as I do, okay, we talked about Mary. It's all about Mary, But I told you at the beginning of the service, right after this, there's a couple of verses about Judas. So you go back to verses 10 and 11. Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, when the chief priest went to the chief priest to betray Jesus to them. And they were delighted to hear this, and they promised to give him money. So he watched for an opportune time to hand him over. An opportune time. He was looking for a time to do this in private when nobody was watching, when nobody was looking. So in John 12 tells us it's Judas that was being highly critical of Mary. So in Mark 14, you contrast Mary's extravagant love for Jesus with Judas's betrayal of Jesus. And if you can make this contrast, think about how Mary loved the Lord publicly and openly. And Judas betrayed the Lord privately, secretly. Mary loved the Lord extravagantly, more than a year's wage. Jesus sold out the Lord for a few pieces of silver. How cheap he sold our Lord for. Mary was criticized for her devotion, and Judas was praised for his betrayal by the chief priests. The disciples rebuked her harshly, and the chief priests, they were delighted with what Judas had done. And at first, it seems like Judas got the better end of the deal here. Here, Mary is accused of wasting money, but Jesus called Judas the son of perdition, which means the son of waste. Judas wasted his life. The point here, please don't waste your life in secret, cheap acts designed to get the praise of people. Instead, give your life to extravagant devotion of our Lord. Openly declare the greatness of God, because that's what worship is all about. Great is the Lord, and greatly, greatly to be praised. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Let me just ask you, you think about how God loves you, how God has made his love known to you. It tells us in John 3:16, God so loved the world that what did he do? He gave his one and only son. You think that might be considered extravagant? He gave his one and only son to die on the cross for you so that you could live forever. God loves you extravagantly. Ephesians 5, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church. And how did Christ love the church? He gave himself up for her because he loves you extravagantly. Romans 5:8 says, God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It's pretty extravagant. That's what true love does. It gives and it gives, and it gives, until it gives its all. And that's how Christ loved us. Let's not be critical of those who give their all to Jesus. Let's be people who give our all to Jesus, because it's a beautiful thing.